The Nature Stories podcast, where people and place intersect.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Acura, featuring the all-new turbocharged Acura RDX with superhandling all-wheel drive. More at acura.com/RDX.
Here at Seymour Narrows is a bottleneck, for in this already narrow channel is a hidden mountain. For years, its twin peaks have been the greatest menace to navigation on the West Coast. Ripple Rock. This is the story of how the killer rock finally met its doom.
Most passengers on the three-day ferry run from Washington State to Alaska sleep through one of the most treacherous parts of British Columbia's Seymour Narrows, an area that was even more dangerous before the Canadian government blew up Ripple Rock. You're listening to the Nature Stories podcast. I'm Samantha Brown. This podcast is curated by Atlantic Public Media in collaboration with the Nature Conservancy and the Public Radio Exchange. Each week we bring you pieces about the intersection between people and place. Up now, Ripple Rock Meets Its Doom, produced by John Ryan.
Midship.
Midship.
Steer course 285.
285.
Captain Larry Walter guides the Matanuska on a calm winter night. He's taking the Alaska State Ferry into a two-mile stretch of the nastiest water on the Inside Passage. Seymour Narrows has some of the world's fastest ocean currents. Like a thumb on the end of a garden hose, it squeezes the tides streaming between Vancouver Island and the North American mainland.
Currents are tremendous in there. They can be up as much as 14 knots. We're restricted when we can go through there by the velocity of the current.
For comparison, a 3-knot current is enough to stop a sea kayaker. 14 knots, that's about fast enough to stop the huge car ferry dead in its tracks. The Matanuska's top speed is only 16 knots. If the current reaches just 8 knots, the captain will wait for the tide to change rather than fight it.
Seymour Narrows is the granddaddy down here. Really the maximum challenge along the British Columbia coast.
As water speeds up, it starts to act crazy. Long chains of standing waves form, water boils up like mushrooms, and whirlpools can appear without warning.
I've seen nights with the ship where we've gotten into one of these whirlpools, and it's actually turned the ship 90 degrees in moments. It's a lot of energy there to turn this thing instantly.
As difficult as the Narrows is today, it was far worse in the past. The British explorer George Vancouver called Seymour Narrows one of the vilest stretches of water in the world. Here's how a documentary film from 1958 described the place.
Here at Seymour Narrows is a bottleneck, for in this already narrow channel is a hidden mountain. For years, its twin peaks have been the greatest menace to navigation on the West Coast. Ripple Rock.
At low tide, the Twin Peaks sat just below the surface in the middle of the swirling channel. Ripple Rock claimed 120 vessels and killed at least 114 people until the Canadian government decided to fight back.
This is the story of how the killer rock finally met its doom.
The documentary was put out by DuPont Canada. The chemical company provided the explosives to blow Ripple Rock to smithereens. Canada's Department of Public Works attacked the rock from below. They hired contractors to drill 500 feet beneath a nearby island. The miners then tunneled half a mile horizontally beneath the ocean floor. Then they drilled up into the twin peaks of Ripple Rock.
There it goes.
Keeping the tunnels dry was a constant challenge. Miners went slowly, drilling small test shafts to make sure the tunnels didn't flood catastrophically. The two-year project honeycombed Ripple Rock with shafts, then filled them with explosives. Miners used a system of skate wheel conveyors to deliver 70,000 cans of explosive, each can about the size of a fireplace log. By 1958, Ripple Rock was stuffed with enough explosives to blow away 700,000 tons of rock and seawater.
The whole operation was without precedent.
But it wasn't just explosives manufacturers who got excited about the project. The CBC broadcast the detonation live across Canada.
There is exactly 35 seconds to go. I don't know about you, Ted, but I'm really tensed right now. 25.
The blast was timed to a low tide to reduce the effect of any tidal wave. 14, police evacuated everyone within a three-mile radius.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5.
And insurance companies told homeowners to take everything off their walls before the blast. You can hear rocks falling on the bunker a half mile from the blast site. After the smoke cleared, officials said there had been little effect beyond the immediate blast zone. But what about Ripple Rock itself? Nearly 50 years later, the Matanuska makes its way through Seymour Narrows. As Third Mate Shannon Meyer explains, the conditions are gentle tonight, with a 4-knot current helping the ship along.
Next week, Seymour gets a 13-knot ebb. So four is nothing.
The currents of Seymour Narrows are still a force of nature that mariners ignore at their peril. But Ripple Rock is only a faint echo on the depth finder of the menace it once was.
Now ships can sail right down the center of the Narrows. For Ripple Rock, the immovable object, has been conquered. Conquered by an irresistible force.
On board the Matanuska, I'm John Ryan.
To hear more stories like these, go to the Public Radio Exchange, prx.org. This podcast is produced with support from the Nature Conservancy, online at nature.org/stories, committed to saving the last great places on Earth. Our theme music is by 35th Parallel. From Woods Hole, Massachusetts, I'm Samantha Brown. I'll be back next week with a new Nature Stories podcast.